demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Well, you remember the discussion a while ago, not that long ago, last week, the week before, I don't know. I don't pay attention to time anymore. When the Colorado Buffaloes were playing at the Rose Bowl and going up against UCLA. Well, according to several outlets, this one specifically, CBSSports.com, prospective UCLA recruits identified as suspects in Colorado locker room theft at Rose Bowl. Juveniles from Beaumont High School in Riverside County are suspected in the theft of valuables during Colorado's loss to UCLA. Now, Angel, I'm not a doctor or scientist or theologist or anything like that. I'm just guessing. If you're paying a visit to a school or a campus or a stadium with the idea that you might play for that school, you might not want to steal stuff from the opposing team's locker room. What do you think? That should be probably something not to do.
I mean, I think it's morally wrong, ethically wrong.
Yeah.
But could it fall under hazing? Like, hey, hazing? If you want to prove yourself to us, go steal some stuff out of that locker room.
Oh, so you think current players got a hold of these possible recruits and said, hey, prove that you're big. I know they've got jewelry and stuff in there. Go steal it.
Maybe.
Hmm.
College football, they do some weird things.
Sure. So it's recruits to the UCLA football team. They're from a high school in Riverside County, California. They've been identified by Pasadena police as suspects in the alleged theft of jewelry and cash from the Colorado locker room during their loss to UCLA in late October. According to a report by USA Today, the case has been turned over to the juvenile division of the local district attorney's office, but no arrests have been made. Suspects were not named at this stage. In a statement, UCLA said the suspects were not on an official recruiting visit during the Bruins' 28-16 win over the Buffaloes when several members of Colorado's team reported missing cash and items. So it wasn't an official visit, but they had visited before. So they were there on their own accord, I guess. So UCLA saying that they were not on an official recruiting visit. How did they get back there? If again, they did this, I get it, innocent until proven guilty, but we don't have names, so whatever. How did they get back there? And again, it leads to, where's security, Bob? I mean, come on. I mean,
again, it goes to that, you know, if you're confident enough, you could get in almost anywhere.
But kids?
Yeah, I'd say, no, I'm a recruit. I play football over, you know, down the street at this high school. It wouldn't be that difficult, I don't think. Especially if you can look the part, like, you've got some muscle on you, you look physically fit, maybe you're wearing a hoodie and some sweatpants, you look like a high school athlete.
I guess.
Say, hey, yeah, the coach told us we were supposed to go meet in the locker room or something. Do you know where it is? Oh, yeah, it's just right down the hall on the left.
What the hell?
Wait, this is, yeah.
When you get found out, though, I mean, you still could play college football because we've seen players do a lot worse and still end up playing on teams.
Oh, but it's, you did it to the Buffs.
Yeah.
You did it to the righteous Buffaloes.
Like, it doesn't matter to me if it was the Buffs, if it were the Ducks, if it were whoever. The fact that you're not on a recruiting visit, but you've been on a visit before, it's not a good way to start your college career. Let's go steal. Let's go into the Buffs locker room and steal stuff. Now, again, we don't know where they're still investigating this. No names are mentioned at this stage, but wild. Primetime was at the podium today, getting set for they play Friday night against Washington State. They got to win out if they want to get to a bowl game. He was asked about ESPN's Stephen A. Smith talking about him potentially going to Texas A&M. Here's what Primetime had to say about that.
on the topic of controversial topics.
Controversial? What controversy do we have? We don't have any controversy right here.
Stephen A. Smith, Texas A&M, said primetime Deion Sanders in the SEC.
So it's controversial when Stephen A. talks?
No, okay. But he says that needs to happen. Just your thoughts on the Texas A&M coaching vacancy?
I want to win. I want to win a game. So you think I really do sit down and think about that kind of stuff? Like, what strikes me about that? About myself, that you guys really think I sit down and say, oh, yeah, Stephen A., yeah. Like, come on, I'm good. Like, we got to win. Let's focus on this week when we play Friday, so we lose a day of practice, so we got to focus.
They want to win. Didn't say no. I know coaches, when they're in game mode, their brains can't even fathom anything else other than the game coming up. But I've always said this on this show. I've said it for years. When you're asked a question and your answer is not a definitive yes or no, maybe. He did not say no. He said he's focused on the win. On wanting to win. He's focused on the game, a short week of practice. And then he has to throw in his, what Stephen A. Smith says is controversial? Yeah, the man has made a living being controversial. So yeah, when he opens his mouth, I'd say 78% of the time something controversial is coming out of it, sports-wise. So yeah, I didn't know what primetime meant by that. Like, oh, if Stephen A. says something, it's controversial? Most of the time, yeah, he's controversial. He's paid to do that.
What if he's already made the decision?
Maybe. But I still don't buy it.
Is it something that he would have to take a few days to think about? Or would it be, nope, let's do it? Because of who he is and the challenge that he may see Texas A&M as.
I just don't see him leaving Shador. I don't see him leaving right now because of the situation with his sons. I just don't see it.
For the Buffs, or is he there for his sons?
I think he's there for both, but only one will keep him from taking another job. I do think he likes what he's doing. I do think he's trying to become immersed in the Colorado Buffalo way or create his own way. I believe that. But that also doesn't mean that if a Texas A&M comes with more money and obviously the recruiting ends they already have, then yeah, his job's going to get a little bit easier. More complicated, I guess, but a little bit easier. Let's face it, the Buffs are going to the Big 12 next year. Angel, is it going to get harder or easier for the Buffs to win next year compared to where they are right now? It's going to get harder. Big 12 over the Pac-12?
Compared to where the Pac-12 teams are
this year's
now,
a weird anomaly. But consistently, year to year, Big 12 is better than the Pac-12.
I mean, it's weird because the power scale gets shifted when Texas and Oklahoma leave. You know, who's the top dog in the Big
12 at this
point? That's a good
point. I always forget that. You know, things are changing. And the Pac-12, based on what we've just seen this year, if they were staying together, then you would go, yeah, these Pac-12 teams, they got a good class of quarterbacks in the Pac-12 this year. But if you do say that it's going to get more difficult to win in the Big 12, then, you know, going to Texas A&M with a school that already has established pipelines and all this other stuff, like primetime's creating pipelines to Boulder, which we know is primarily using the transfer portal right now. But when you go to a Texas A&M type school, they've already set themselves up, whether the coach is Jimbo Fisher or primetime or Angel Padilla. They have the pipelines because it's Texas A&M. So, but again, I go back to it. Is as long as Shador is there, which it does sound like he's not. Now, has that changed? Is Shador looking at primetime saying, no, I've decided I am going to put my name in the ring for the NFL?
About it. Who wouldn't want to take the son of Deion Sanders as their quarterback?
But the question for Shador is, are you a first rounder? Because if you're not a first rounder, you might as well stay in college and make money that way. First rounder, you go in and you make more money. But
I think Shedeur Sanders is going to make money whatever he does.
Probably.
Of who he is.
And he's got the, he's going to have endorsements and all that stuff, sure. But I just think that you're if you're not going to be, because I think the first round thing means something to everybody. Getting drafted in the first round as opposed to second or later, there's something about it. Yeah, some come in, I got a chip on my shoulder and all that stuff. But guys like Shedeur Sanders, and what I mean by guys like Shedeur Sanders, are larger than life. So larger than life personalities. And again, his personality is not quite like prime times, but the whole watch thing would show us that Shador's well on his way, right? They want to be drafted in the first round. They want to be first round picks. So I asked you yesterday, I think, or whenever, is Shedeur Sanders a first round pick? Then he's going to stay in Colorado for another year. Therefore, primetime's going to stay in Colorado for another year. I just don't see him leaving. This whole thing would be a lot more interesting if Shedeur was electing to go into the draft. Then we'd have a ball game. We'd have something to talk about. But then again,
you don't need a decision right now. He could still wait until, I think it's like mid-December, they have to make an announcement.
How jacked up, though, would that be if primetime goes and then Shador's here, stays here in Boulder? I
mean, how jacked up was it to leave Jackson State high and dry?
Well, what do you mean high and dry?
Well, kind of just, all right, you were a nice stepping stone for me.
Yeah.
It was a fun stepping stone.
So you would have advocated for him to stay?
No, but leave it better than you.
He left it better. I mean, he won. They won while he was there, and a better job came calling. This is the nature of this game.
I'm telling you, A&M's a better job than CU.
Yeah, but the difference between Jackson State and CU is huge. The difference between CU, who's now Big 12 bound, there's a big difference, but it's not the difference that we see between Division 1 FCS compared to Division 1 FBS. Way, way different shot. And Can you make money at CU. He's making money. They're selling out games. They're getting sponsors left and right. He's on every commercial you see. So I don't know how much the money thing is going to really impact his decisions going forward. But you do wonder, he wants to be successful. So what's an easier road for a coach, to try to do it at CU or try to do it at Texas A&M? We always talk about the difference between, like when you talk about skill, like players, the difference between FCS players and FBS. Ask a player. Ask both guys that have been at both levels. What's the difference at those levels? They'll always tell you it's in the trenches. It's the big boys. The skill positions are all over the place. You can find decent quarterbacks that can play at the college level all over the place. But finding people in the trenches is difficult. Finding the big bodies that can move well. And CU, at least what we've seen now, and even last year with Carl Durrell and the years before that, finding those mammoth human beings that can move well as an offensive lineman are difficult to find. In fact, offensive line play is down across the country. So it's hard to find those guys. Don't you think you have a better shot if you're with Texas A&M of finding those guys? It's a bigger beacon there. Big Hub, who great to answer this, says, yes, the trenches are different in the FCS than FBS. And that's what I hear from players. Big Hub, of course, played for CSU. And you hear that, you know, yeah, there's differences. But the main thing we see is, you know, guys coming off the edge rushers or offensive linemen. They're typically just bigger, faster, stronger. And so if we all agree that the biggest issue surrounding the Colorado Buffaloes right now is the offensive line, okay, you got to get better there. But Texas A&M is much better at being able to, teams like Texas A&M, Alabama, all those big schools, SEC schools, their pipelines are so, they're so wide, there's so many of them that they have their pick when it comes to getting the best offensive linemen in the country. CU doesn't have that. Could they get there? Could primetime create this thing? I guess you could. It's just a lot more difficult to do that in Boulder as opposed to when we're talking big-time football, when we start talking big-time states, big-time football states, and Texas is one of them. But again, the whole issue with this conversation is leaving your child. Like, you're talking about how it was tough to leave Jackson State high and dry. None of those guys are his children. Leaving his child behind, the guy he convinced to come with him to see you and live in Boulder and just be a part of that, and Shiloh too, he would leave both of them behind and go to Texas A&M. I'm not buying that he would do that.
Would it be considered a bad thing if he did? Or could it be seen as, hey, this is Coach Deion Sanders doing something for himself, you know, letting Shador and Shiloh do their own thing, but he is going to go on and be a coach that he wants to be? Because a lot has been made about
thing.
It's been a lot has been made of, like, oh, he only went there because his sons were going to play for him. Eventually, his sons aren't going to be playing for him. So is he still going to want to be that type
of
coach?
Well, yeah, and that's the, you know, the other thing too is these jobs don't just always pop up. You know, there's not always Texas A&M jobs coming at you. No, I mean, we see it. Coaches get fired a lot. So a couple years down the road, wait it out. But maybe it's not a Texas or Florida school that comes calling. Maybe it's somebody else. So, yeah, if you're primetime, you also have to look at that. If this is real and he's even remotely considering it, you don't want to let the opportunity pass you by, because you're right. Shador's got next year, and I think Shiloh's done too. So are you going to sacrifice a potential future to coach at the highest level? SEC, Texas A&M, up there. Maybe they're not successful right now, but they're one of those schools you talk about when you're like, what are the top jobs to get? That's one of them. And so would you sacrifice not taking that for 1 year of coaching your sons, for one more year of coaching your sons? Would it be considered bad? I wouldn't be like questioning his fatherhood or anything like that.
No, but
yeah,
in the sense of how the media has perceived, oh, the father-son relationship, can we separate Deion from that and see him just as a coach?
It's tough to do that. It's hard to do that. Now, I would, if at the end of the season they lose to Utah, game over, we get an announcement that primetime is going to Texas A&M, will I be like, man, he duped everybody? No, because this is what it is. You're in any job, you are trying to get to the best level you can achieve, I think. And if you're not, then maybe you're just satisfied being where you are. But at the coaching game, like, Angel, if Steve Smiley got a call from Minnesota to go be their head coach, he would take that. He would take that. Nico Medved, who knows? Would he take that? I don't know. He's coming up next. I'll ask him. You don't fault those guys for doing it, because now they can go somewhere where they have more, better facilities, better pipelines, better reputation, where it's just easier to do everything. So if you're going to get mad at primetime because he left CU, who's not known as a football town or a football school or whatever, it might have been in the 90s, but it's really not, you're not going to fault him. But then when you throw in the monkey wrench of your son's play for the team that you uprooted and brought over here. Now, again, it's not that they didn't have a good opportunity. Shador was playing Jackson State. Now he's playing in the Pac-12 for another year. He'll be in the Big 12 next year. So he's playing at a high level. He can improve his stock. But if primetime leaves and they get a coach like Carl Durrell again, then isn't that bad for Shador? And his stock goes all the way down. And he's suddenly a fourth or fifth round pick.
How much of his stock is rooted in who his dad is?
I think at the beginning of the season, it was just Shador. He's a stud. But now that there's struggles happening, you have to, if you're a scout, you're really reading between the lines. Because I don't think
a scout went to Deion and said, hey, Deion, we like your kid, but we want to see him on his own.
I don't know, man, because primetime to me, it's not like they're doing him any favors. It's not like Shador is a product of any kind of a system. There's not really a system there. It's just don't die. Like, don't get sacked 87 times. Like, that's it. So I don't know that you look at it and go, yeah, but your dad was your coach. You're actually, Shador is a good quarterback. He's just under pressure all the time. It's hard to do anything on that team. It's a fascinating discussion. Primetime didn't say no. That doesn't mean anything. But to me, if you aren't even considering it a little bit, then it's just a quick no. Nope. I love it here. Moving on. But that didn't even happen. 25 minutes after the hour. Stick around. Nico Medved coming up, head coach of the Colorado State Rams. Rams Bears tonight at the Bank of Colorado Arena. 6 o'clock. Mike Rice will have the Blue and Gold pregame show for you at 5:30. Can't wait for that game. I'm excited for the upcoming interview with Coach, too. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Hear Preps Talk and Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
All right, welcome back in. I'm behind on the clock. I want to thank Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, Young Law Firm. You or a loved one's been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact. That's Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. CSU head coach Nico Medved coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Colorado State Rams going to get in the fast lane and head on over to Greeley tonight, or maybe just the slow lane or the minimum speed limit range, whatever. And yeah, I botched it, Angel. I botched it. Joining us on our First Advantage Hotline, head coach for Colorado State, Nico Medved. Coach, appreciate your time as always, my friend.
No, man, it's great to be on. So you got to back up. Where were you going with the fast lane, slow lane?
I said you guys were going to take the fast lane to Greeley, and then Angel looked at me weird, and then I lost it. And it didn't.
A fast lane on 34?
I don't know. They're probably not. So, Coach, just don't do that. Don't do anything illegal. Just get here safely and be ready to play basketball.
That's the plan. Well, we better be ready to play basketball tonight. So that's the plan.
I'm excited for this one. I'll be out there tonight, Coach. I love this matchup too. I love growing basketball in the state, and I always think it's an opportunity for teams like UNC. I mean, they don't get the biggest crowd in the world. I know a lot of Rams fans are coming to this game too to get in front of people and showcase kind of what they can do. And you guys have had some battles the last couple of years. I just love this kind of game and this atmosphere because I really think it builds up the state of basketball.
Well, I think so. There's definitely a much higher interest level when the Front Range teams get together, and it's that way in our league, right, with Air Force and Wyoming. And, you know, this is the third year in a row we played UNC. You know, thankful we still have our series with CU. And I think those things are important. The Nuggets are doing, you know, are probably the best team in the NBA right now. So anything that helps basketball here in Colorado, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah, and then again, looking forward to this one tonight. Coming to Greeley, taking on the UNC Bears, tip off at 6 o'clock. Coach, before we kind of dive into that game, starting off the season 2-0, and you're looking at this group of yours, man, Coach, when it starts clicking, this roster really, you just seem like you have a lot of guys, a lot of athletes that can make plays happen. I've been so impressed, and obviously it starts with Isaiah Stevens, who I think is probably throwing an assist somewhere right now. It just seems like that's what he does all the time.
No, he's really, you know, since coming back from the day he got back to campus in June, he's just been really focused and been an incredible leader, and is playing at a high level, as you would expect, but he's just playing so mature. It's never about him. It's about the team. It's about winning. And so he's just done such a great job of helping lead these guys and helping develop chemistry early. And, you know, it's a small sample size. You know, first two games and our scrimmages have gone away, but these guys know that tonight is a whole different challenge. So you're only as good as your last game, and we got to go out there tonight and really put our best foot forward. But so far, these guys have really gelled that way and have bought into the whole team concept. And we got to keep that going.
Coach, on the Isaiah Stevens thing, it's probably a stupid question, but the guy has broken so many records and broke his own record the other night. Now he's, as far as in-game assists and then the Mountain West assist record. Is that something that is ever talked about in a game, or is that you don't even think about it? Isaiah doesn't even think about it until it's done. There's never somebody saying, "Hey, by the way, you're two assists away from passing your own record." Does that ever come up?
I'll be honest, like it really doesn't. At least not with me. Somebody else might be aware. I mean, I had no idea at halftime that he had 12 assists already, or anything like that. I was upset with our defense for a lot of the first half. The only thing I was focused on was how we were playing and trying to win the game. And I think the one thing about Isaiah, who people know him and they know so well, is it's great to break records. It's great to get recognition. Everybody wants that, and he deserves that. But that's not what he's focused on. Like, he would trade a record like that to win a game in a heartbeat. Because that's who he is. So there's no focus on that. It's just trying to play well and win. And, you know, when he does that at a high level, great things happen. But, no, I was not aware of that at all until after the game. I think they made an announcement during the game, but I just don't even pay attention to that stuff. But, yeah, when I saw the stat sheet, you know, at halftime, and I saw it after the game, and then I saw the thing that I loved the most about the other night is we had 37 assists. You know, to 9 turnovers. So that really popped off the page, and that's the way that we love our teams to play. And it always looks better when shots are going in.
Coach, with another player that I am just, we had him on last week. He is a delight to talk to, Joel Scott. You know, in the back of your mind, you know, obviously you think when you get a guy like that who played at such, you know, at a high level, at a D2 level, but he was the man. Is there part of your mind though? It's like, man, what if that doesn't transition, that doesn't translate to this level? And obviously you lean more toward, yeah, he's going to. That's why we want him. That's why we're recruiting him. But were you surprised at all by his quick start? I mean, I joked with him the other day. I was like, first game in your career at this level, and you were the lead scorer in the game. And he's like, dude, I would have told you you're crazy if you would have told me that a month ago. But talk about his progression so far and that transition to this level.
You know, I'm not surprised based on what I could see right away, like the first 2 weeks to a month that he got here in the summer. I mean, you could see very clearly the way he played, his athleticism, his toughness. There's nothing fancy about Joel Scott. He is just all about business, plays tough, plays simple. I mean, I just love what he brings to our team. And, you know, I told him very quickly, you know, before the season started that, you know, a lot of people are going to try to tell you, well, you're making this jump to high level Division I. You know, now you're going to have to do this, that, and the other. And I said, you know what, you're going to find out really quickly that the same things you did to make you the best player in the country at the Division II level, you're going to be able to take that same skill set here to Division I and be successful. You don't have to change anything. Just be who you are. And I think he's figured that out. You know, really in our two close scrimmages, Brady, we played two, you know, high major opponents. And I think he built confidence from that he could see that, hey, I can go out there and do what I do and be effective. And that's carried over here early in the season. So he's been great. He's been a great teammate, been a great addition to our team, and we're lucky we have him.
We're talking to CSU head coach Nico Medved. And, Coach, you talked about it, you know, at the half against Wright State. You're like, hey, I just got to get this team rolling. That's what I'm more focused on. And then you did. You come out and you outscore the Raiders 60-35, getting the win 105-77. Two games, small sample size, and you said even with scrimmages, but you know, quick starts for you guys. Is that something that you've been emphasizing, is trying to say, hey, we want to get to the point where we're not back and forth so much or coming from behind in that Louisiana Tech game? Is that something that you are really trying to focus on and practice, is, hey, we got to dial in right off the bat so we can just get out to a quick lead?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, yeah, but again, it's a small sample size. And two, I mean, basketball's played for 40 minutes, right? Like, I think that sometimes, you know, basketball can be a game of runs, and you've got to try to play at your highest level for 40 minutes. And just because you start fast doesn't mean you end fast, right? I mean, everyone would love to do that, right? Start fast, play great in the middle, and then put your foot on the gas at the end. But if it were only that simple. And so I think sometimes too, you know, in the season, you you know, you have a little bit of film. You don't know as much about your opponents. And sometimes you get out there and you kind of get in a feel for how the game's going to go, right? And what players like to do and try to make some adjustments as the game goes on. And I think, fortunately, we've been able to do that. And, you know, we've run into some teams, too, that have come out of the gate strong, that have come out firing. And, you know, I have no doubt UNC is going to be ready to rock tonight at 6 o'clock. So, I mean, they're going to want to start fast, too. And so we're going to have to be ready to play. But regardless of what happens, Brady, in the first 8 to 10 minutes, you're up, down, whatever's going, you got to keep playing. The game is played for 40 minutes, and the team that can play, you know, the most consistent for the longest periods of time over the course of the game is the one that comes out the winner.
Well, I think that's something we've learned about your teams over in the past, too. You know, you're always in it. There's always something that's going to happen when you have great leadership and on this roster as well, and guys that just believe in themselves. And yeah, you talk about UNC and this team tonight. I was listening to St. Thomas, a new face for the UNC Bears. I was listening to him on a post game the other night. He is so, and he's new to the area, he's new to all this, but he absolutely loves these matchups, these in-state matchups, and he, you can just hear it. These guys in Greeley, they look at you, they look at Colorado State, if we can win this game, I mean, it's like a Super Bowl to us in many ways. And you knowing that, Coach, I think you and I have talked about it, that paints a crazy, ridiculous target on your back when you're going up against schools like this. Solid teams, but they know a win against the Colorado State Rams is a marquee victory for them.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, listen, they're going to play well tonight. We're going into the Hornet's Nest, right? It's the whiteout. It's a big game, all that stuff. And rivalry game, all of it. Whenever we play these guys or you play any of these opponents, throw it all out the window. It's going to be a hard-fought game. And our guys know that. They know what they're walking into here tonight. But I think as a competitor, you got to look forward to that. You know, you got to want to be in these environments and love to challenge yourself. And we're doing that with our schedule this year.
Oh, no question.
I mean, the first two teams we played, those are teams that have a chance to compete, you know, in their league. And so this is going to be a hard test for us tonight, but we're looking forward to it. We're looking to go out there and test ourselves. And I hope the crowd gets after us and they're on us. And there's a lot of emotion in the game, and that's what you sign up for when you play college basketball. And so what a great great opportunity for us tonight as well.
Coach, is this a game that you really value? I mean, I obviously know you value it, but when you're looking forward, I know it's still up in the air as whether this is going to happen off and on. You don't have to answer that today, but I know a lot of my listeners just absolutely love the idea of UNC and CSU playing every single year.
Well, I hope, you know, it's hard. I mean, it's crazy the changes that are going on right now in college athletics, conference realignment, you know, how many conference games do we end up moving to? I think you're starting to see rumblings of that around the country. So I think there's so many things that have to be decided yet, you know, looking forward to playing. But, you know, there's a lot of things about it that make sense, being right down the road and all that. But yeah, we signed a three-year deal here when we played these guys, a 2-for-1, and it's over after this year. And, you know, once it's over and the season's over, we'll kind of talk moving forward.
Yeah, you know, just thinking about that with football, they have to, they plan out their schedules like 80 years, you know, in the future. Basketball, you guys can move around a little bit easier, so you don't have to have that full plan for the next 10 years set in stone.
Oh, gosh, I mean, and the way it works in basketball, it's kind of wild. I mean, they're still a lot of teams, you know, looking for games in August. You know, this year it's a little bit more chaotic that way.
Yeah, why is that, Coach? Again, I joke about it, but football's crazy with it. They figure out their schedules, but then when COVID hit, they were doing the same thing. They were scheduling games like 5 seconds before. Why is there such a difference there between the two?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to it. First of all, you have a lot more games. You have multiple dates, you know, throughout the week. Football is usually played right on Saturdays throughout the year. So the dates are a lot easier to schedule in advance. That's very, very difficult to do with basketball. There's so many different moving parts with MTEs and different events like that. I also think, you know, with the metrics of the NCAA tournament and people trying to prepare for the postseason with the net rankings and how that all works with quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four, and how you're trying to schedule your games. There's so much turnover on people's rosters. People are trying to be strategic on who they schedule, how they schedule to maximize those opportunities because teams change so much year to year. So I think you factor in all those things. That's usually, you know, usually what happens. So it's really a combination of all those factors. And it just can become very, very difficult to schedule things, you know, far out in advance. And, you know, one thing we did, you know, we like with St. Mary's, we had essentially a 4-year contract with them home and away. If it's the right team, maybe there's something that we can do there. But that's kind of the world we live in right now.
Yeah, no question about it, Coach. Well, I'm looking forward to this one tonight. I love following this basketball team. So far, so good. A lot of fun to see some of these new faces gel and everything, some studs on this basketball team. So we're looking forward to a fun one tonight, Coach. We wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, Brady. Appreciate you having me on. We'll see you in a little bit.
All right, my friend. Sounds good. That's CSU head coach Nico Medved. And no, my fast lane thing didn't fly, Angel. I meant, you know, they're going to be hopping on the fast lane to get here to Greeley and get ready for a big basketball game tonight. The Rams are 11, last I looked, 11-point favorites in this game tonight. Are we going to see the kind of points that we've seen in the last couple of years between these two teams? I mean, the last 2 years, their offenses have both fired away. With UNC, you wonder if they're going to be more of that defensive-minded team where they're not going off offensively, and can they slow down Colorado State in the first half or so?
I think the trend of CSU starting slow doesn't show up tonight, but the second half is where this game gets close.
So you think CSU gets off to a quick start and takes an early decent lead, and then UNC fights back?
I think a quick start in that both teams are playing a lot of offense and not very well defense. And then I think as the game gets closer in the second half, you will start to see more of like maybe you get to like the 40s, 50s in the first half, and then you end the game at like 67.
Yeah. I'm excited to see both of these teams in person. It'll be my first chance to do it. So I'm pumped up. Rams, Bears, man. Doesn't get much better than this. I hope Medved is wanting to have this game. I do, because I know UNC does. But I hope CSU in the future keeps this thing going every single year. It's tough. It's tough because when you're CSU, you are thinking about the quad one, quad two, and all that stuff. And if you're going to lose, you want to lose to those teams. It's when you if you lose to UNC, it really hurts you. And for the Bears, that's great to win it. But we all know for the Bears, it's like, honestly, you could lose every regular season game. Just as long as you get into you're in the tournament automatically, you just win that thing. So I can see why, you know, you have to be careful with how you do things here. But personally, and I think statewide, I think it's a great thing. 12:51 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want to thank Renaissance Insurance Group, my guy Ryan Hicks. Listen, man, they got your back. He's going to be at the game tonight. He's all about community. He's all about supporting our area of Northern Colorado, and so I always look at that first, okay? I'm going to go with an insurance person, I'm a business or a company. I'm going to see, okay, what are their values? Are they really caring about the community that we're in? And that's Ryan Hicks. That's him and his partner. They've been, they're former two UNC Bears alumni 20-some years ago. That's Renaissance Insurance, risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs. They're your go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. That's Renaissance Insurance. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Eastside Chris. Northern New Mexico had a rough weekend. Dropped two games in Montana after a long bus ride home. Look forward to a game with rival New Mexico Highlands tonight. Chance to get back on a winning streak. From your KFKA Northern New Mexico traveling insider, Chris. Back to you in the studio.
Are you traveling with them?
Are you actually traveling with them?
You're just following their bus?
I think he's just... He's trying to... We got Flying Dutchman that has his... he's got his James Madison people.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Eastside Chris now saying, you know what? This is going to be my guys. Northern New Mexico. And so we just get random fans shooting us texts about teams that we don't typically talk about.
When they become a Cinderella story here in a few years and a program that started from nothing, we'll remember these stories.
And what we did to promote them. Northern New Mexico Jackrabbits.
Gave them a check with some money on it.
Yes. The Northern New Mexico
Eagles.
Rabbits. Oh, they're the Eagles?
They're Eagles.
Hmm.
Some kind of bird.
Aaron says, I think the local rivalries have a better chance of sticking in basketball just for a close non-conference game. If they're unable to work it into the schedule, a preseason in-state D1 tournament would be really cool to see, too. Oh, Angel and I have been working on a trophy for it.
Oh, here we go. Mid-season tournament.
Let's get our mid-season tournament trophy ready. Nuggets are back at it tonight for game two of the thing. More on that. And Broncos. Broncos win. More on that coming up next.